Tulane Tutor. I'm Anna, a third-year medical student, and today I'm here with Dr. Miller, who's going to answer a lot of the questions from T3s about away rotations, electives, and scheduling. If you have any questions about things you hear on this podcast, feel free to email tulanetutor@gmail.com, and we'll try to get all of your questions answered. You can find more Tulane Tutor podcasts at audioboom.com/tulanetutor. So, Dr. Miller, the questions from T3s about internal medicine seem to be divided into two main categories. People are asking both about away rotations and sub-I's. So the biggest question seems to be, should people applying to internal medicine do away rotations? And if so, when should they do them? Should they be in a subspecialty? And do certain programs look more favorably on aways than others?
In general, away rotations are not necessary for applications to internal medicine. Having said that, if there is a program that you are interested in getting some additional experience with, or just want to get a better handle on how they do things, that may be a reason to do an away rotation, but do not see it as a tryout. Some of your colleagues going into other specialties that where the numbers are much smaller and the departments are much smaller, they actually have to do that. They actually have to try out for their specialty as they apply. Internal medicine just doesn't work that way. We're the biggest departments with the biggest faculty, the largest number of residents. And so the chance that you're going to actually work with a faculty member that's going to have who's going to have key input into you matching at that institution is pretty slim. So go to the institution because you want to learn more about it. Don't go to the institution and do the away rotation because you're trying out. So let me just set that expectation there. Now, having said whether you should do a general medicine rotation or subspecialty rotation, I strongly discourage you from doing a sub-internship at an away rotation, at an away institution, with the exception of the folks going into the military match. Those folks, you do need to do your sub-I away. But if for everyone else, do your sub-I at Tulane with our faculty so you can get a letter of recommendation from our faculty. The concern about doing a sub-internship at another institution is you're going to have to learn a new hospital system, a new computer system, and you're probably going to be working alongside students from that institution, and your whole first week is going to be playing catch-up. And sub-internships, by their nature, are scrutinized to a much greater degree than elective rotations. And so you're setting yourself up for maybe not the same degree of success that you might be hoping for if you were to do a sub-I. Having said that, I recommend doing an elective. Again, the scrutiny is not as great. There will be a little bit more forgiveness if you need to spend the first week learning the system, learning the computers, and so on. And you'll still be able to get a handle on how things work at that institution.
Okay, perfect. If somebody does decide to do away rotations because they need to be somewhere specific mm-hmm. in the country or anything like that, how many would you recommend?
That varies. And there are some exceptions to this, depending on the scenario for each student. But generally, I recommend no more than two. But again, like I said, there are exceptions to that, especially if there's a significant other, there are family considerations, that might trump that.
Okay. And if somebody is going to do away rotations, what's the best time of year? What months are the best for aways?
Sure. My recommendations are, so starting from May of your fourth year through October, those are the prime times. And I know that's a pretty large amount of time there, but those are the prime times for doing away rotations prior to you actually interviewing at the institutions. And depending on the institution you're interested in doing the away rotation at, they may dictate when you can actually go there. And so having some flexibility is going to be important.
Okay. And then in terms of sub-I's, if somebody is still choosing between two specialties like medicine and pediatrics, should they do a sub-I in each of those specialties?
I generally do not recommend that. However, a number of students have done this in the past. They've done both a sub-I in medicine and in pediatrics, for example. If that's what the student wants to do, fine. But the student does not feel like they have to do that unless it's absolutely essential in their mind to making that decision between medicine and pediatrics. I know, not exactly a definitive answer there, but again, that's going to be unique to each individual. So that really should be answered on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. And then more generally about sub-I's, what exactly does a sub-I entail in terms of how does it compare to the core clerkship? Mm-hmm. How does the grading work? How are you assigned to an attending? That sort of thing.
So by definition, a sub-I needs to be, you are going to act as an intern as much as you can within the law while serving on a primary admitting service. So this cannot happen on a consulting service. It must be a primary admitting service. So traditionally, sub-Is have been on general medicine hospital teams and occasionally in the ICU, which there may be, with some exception, that might be a good idea for a very small number of students. The vast majority of students should do their sub-I on a general hospitalist service. Now, for the rotation here at Tulane, it can be at either one of our, any one of our hospitals, and it is a four-week rotation. Students are graded by evaluations, and evaluations only. There is not a shelf exam at the end. Many will be relieved to hear that. There are a couple other things that we'll need for you to document. Much like the clerkship, we focus on performing the history and physical exam well, and we ask you to have two H&Ps graded. We're actually going to have you have two discharge summaries graded during the sub-internship. Now, those can be graded by the attending or resident, but we're going to begin to focus more on the management in the hospital as well as discharging the patient in the hospital during the sub-internship to a much greater degree than you did during the clerkship. So you should have your own patients assigned to just you. There should be no clerkship students assigned to the patients with you, and ideally no other interns assigned to the patient with you. It should be just you, the resident, and you'll be making the calls to the consultants, the calls to the support staff, the physical therapists, the social workers, the case managers, whoever needs to be called regarding that, and doing much of the important work to get that patient properly cared for and discharged from the hospital.
Okay. And then lastly, talking about residency, there were a couple questions, mainly for internal medicine. Is it important to have your step two score back before you apply? How much does internal medicine look at step one and step two? What's the most important thing on a medicine application? And in terms of letters of recommendation, how many should an internal medicine applicant have?
Sure.
And should they be all or mainly from internal medicine doctors?
Good. So regarding the step scores, yeah, there's no getting around it. They're going to look at step scores. If you are disappointed with your step one score, I would recommend taking step two so that it goes out with your ERS application. If you're happy with your step one score, I would still recommend taking step two so it goes out with your application, just because it usually does not behoove you to push it back later in the year. It's actually probably a good idea to schedule step two in proximity to your sub-internship. The reason is your sub-internship is going to prep you for step two, or in the other order, step two is going to prep you for your sub-internship. So might as well do those close together, which means you're likely going to do those no later than September, and you'll have that score before your applications. Regarding letters of recommendation, for internal medicine, we recommend to get four. Most places only require three, but there are a few exceptions. So we want you to just have four just in case. My general recommendation is the following. Get at least one recommendation letter from the clerkship, one recommendation letter from the sub-internship. One letter of recommendation will be a chairman's letter, which will be written by the chairman of the department, signed by the chairman, the program director, and the clerkship director. And then the fourth letter is kind of an at-large letter. And a couple thoughts on this. If you can get another internal medicine letter that's going to be really good, I would do that. But if you can't, that's okay. But it should be a letter that's going to be a top-notch letter, someone who you worked with closely, who you think is going to write a very personal letter about you. Folks have often used their family medicine preceptor because they've worked so closely with them over a long period of time. But this could be any other physician in another specialty that you've worked closely with who you think is going to write you a very, very compelling, strong letter.
Okay, I think that's it for now. I'm sure people will have more questions, but thanks for doing this.
No, you're welcome.